with what we're learning about two suspects in San Jose. Police now say it was a woman who first opened fire on them during a chase. Good evening. I'm Elizabeth Cook.
And I'm Ken Bassita. That male suspect was shot and killed by police.
The chase began around 5 o'clock last night as police approached an SUV parked illegally at a VTA station. Authorities say the suspect sped north on Highway 87, firing shots at police. Then they carjacked a UPS driver on Kirtner Avenue. Turns out the UPS driver helped end the chase at North 1st Street and Trimble Road. KPIX5's Devin Feely has the very latest.
Sheriff Lori Smith says that her deputy had a gut instinct that something wasn't quite right about this couple, and that's why the deputy approached their car. But even that gut instinct didn't prepare them for what happened next or for what they would ultimately find inside the suspect's getaway car.
Illegally parked. We just pulled in behind it and drove over the island.
The sheriff's department says it now believes the suspects, Mark Murowski and Joanna Macy Rogers, were planning some other crime, perhaps even to ambush or rob or kidnap someone else, based on items found in their SUV after leading police on a violent and chaotic chase.
They had a loaded shotgun, additional shotgun shells, but what they also had in the car was a machete, duct tape, and zip ties.
Whatever Murowski and Macy Rogers were planning, they quickly proved dangerous and desperate, taking aim at officers as they sped away from the light rail station in South San Jose. They would lead police on a long and winding chase, at one point driving the wrong way on Highway 87 in a frantic attempt to elude officers. And when that didn't work, they ditched their SUV and turned their shotgun on a UPS driver.
I saw the female run up the stairwell carrying a shotgun. They all started chasing the UPS driver, and I walked to here and I could see the UPS driver ran the red light, and I knew that they were inside the car with him.
But police say that driver outsmarted the suspects, managing to slow them down and ensure they got caught.
He purposely drove over the spike strips. They wanted him to drive faster, and he lied and told them that the UPS truck had a governor and it couldn't go over 50 miles an hour.
Macy Rogers surrendered after the delivery van, its tires flattened, ground to a stop. The driver was released a short time later, but Murowski wouldn't give up. He grabbed a shotgun and made a fateful decision.
The suspect was struck at least once. He was pronounced deceased at the scene.
According to police, Murowski has a serious criminal history. They say he was actually on parole for both carjacking and robbery when this happened. They say that Macy Rogers has had some run-ins with the police, but they describe those as fairly minor and nothing that suggests that she was capable of the violence allegedly on display yesterday. In San Jose, Devin Feely, KPIX5.
A Sausalito home came crashing down a steep hillside during yesterday's relentless rains. A woman was sleeping inside when it all happened. She woke up trapped in mud and rubble up to her neck. Tonight she's bumped and bruised, but otherwise okay after quite the rescue.
Her house was on Sausalito Boulevard and slid 200 feet down onto another home below. KPIX5's Andrea Borba is there now with the woman's story. Andrea?
Well, Ken and Liz, this slide started nearly at Highway 101 here in Sausalito. That mud is what took out Susan Gordon's house with her inside of it.
It was fast.
Tonight, bruised and bandaged, somehow Susan Gordon is alive to tell her tale of surviving a mudslide that sent her tumbling downhill in her crumbling home in Sausalito.
And then all of a sudden, there was this cracking sound. And then I was tumbling down, and things were tumbling all over me, on top of me. And it didn't last very long, at least while it was happening.
After the motion, stillness.
It stopped, and I was trapped. I had trees on top of me. I had beams on top of me. And I thought, I gotta get out of here. And I couldn't move anything off me because it was too heavy.
That's when Sausalito Engine 1 arrived. Using the jaws of life, they plucked her out of the mud and debris.
It moved the debris and the mud away from me so they could pull me out by lifting me up underneath my arms.
Susan, at 75, is alive, but with the daunting task of starting over ahead of her.
Everyone says it's a miracle. I have to believe it is. It's a miracle. When I see those shots on television about how far I went and how much was on top of me.
Her son started a GoFundMe account, and the people of Sausalito have already stepped in to fill the void.
Strangers. They're offering me clothes off their back. The attending medical surgeon offered me this shirt, this sweater, because I had nothing but my lightweight jammies on. And I'm never giving it back.
Now, what an incredible story. Let's talk about the recovery here in Sausalito. They have been working on Sausalito Boulevard all day long to get the mud off of it. They hope to have that open by tomorrow. Whether or not that happens is the question. Below it, Crescent Drive will likely take through most of next week to get reopened. As far as Susan's home, which is at the bottom of that ravine tonight, there is no timeline yet. Ken, Liz, back to you.
All right, Andrea, thank you for that. To our storm watch now, and there are still a whole bunch of problems unfolding tonight, like closed Bay Area highways, flooded local rivers, and massive amounts of new snow in the Sierra.
We got Caltrans behind us, and they're doing everything they can to slow us up. This is why we have the freeway shut down.
Yeah, crazy conditions up there. More from Donner Pass in just a moment. But first, high-def Doppler showing rain, even Bay Area snow right now.
Yeah, it's been wild. Chief Meteorologist Paul Deano tracking it all for us tonight. Paul?
Well, we are watching those scattered downpours continue. Told you yesterday that we would get sunshine, then some rain, then sunshine, rain. Well, we threw some hail into the mix as well. And a rumble of thunder right over San Francisco earlier today. Scattered downpours continue tonight. It's only raining at about 10% of Bay Area locations, but where it's raining, it's pouring right over Santa Rosa, almost to Petaluma within a few minutes, and it's pouring right over the Financial District and also China Basin in San Francisco, south to Daly City. We'll put it in time-lapse mode. You can see all the showers off to the west. They will rotate through the Bay Area this evening, so the scattered downpour theme continues. Let's go even farther into the future. Overnight tonight, tomorrow morning, scattered downpours. Tomorrow lunchtime. Yep, still there. Tomorrow afternoon, even some scattered downpours will continue. Any of those heavier cells may contain some small hail, just like we saw today. And in the mountains, they will see snowfall likely until lunchtime on Sunday. Widespread new snowfall totals of 2 to 4 feet. So those scattered showers and downpours continue tonight into the weekend. Any heavier cell could have small hail and lightning. And thankfully, the pattern finally starts to relax and dry out by Sunday afternoon. We'll talk about how much additional rain to expect and what to expect next week coming up in a few minutes.
All right, Paul, thanks for that. You want to go to the snow, traveling to the Sierra tonight, you might want to rethink that.
Yeah, the conditions this holiday weekend will be brutal until Monday at the earliest.
Now check out some of the highways around Tahoe. Highway 50 is a nightmare for drivers tonight, and Interstate 80 has been closed for much of the day. But reporter Steve Large has some new details.
And Interstate 80 now reopening over the Donner Summit because the Caltrans is saying it's clearing up just enough to make it safe for drivers. You can see, you can actually make out this stretch of roadway. We're at about 5,200 feet right here at Immigrant Gap. You can see a few Caltrans vehicles making their way over the mountain right now. But very soon we should be seeing travelers making it over the mountain. It's been 24 hours plus since they closed it because of the high winds up here have been making for blizzard-like conditions, wide conditions, but Caltrans now saying those winds have died down. You can actually have some good visibility making it over this mountain, and so they are reopening Interstate 80 tonight. At Immigrant Gap, Steve Large, KPIX 5.
Thanks for that, Steve. Check out this hailstorm in San Francisco this afternoon. Kind of hard to believe, but just about 15 minutes before it hit, the sun was out.
And tonight, part of Highway 37 is closed indefinitely because of flooding. That flooding came after the Novato Creek broke through a nearby levee and overwhelmed two drainage basins. All westbound lanes are closed right now between Atherton Avenue and 101. The eastbound lanes are open.
The water doesn't seem to be going down too much, and you know, still some more rain coming. So it could be a long-term situation, but we're kind of in a wait and see on that.
Now, to fix that broken levee, repair crews say they need to build a temporary road to reach it. That closure is having an impact on traffic, as you can imagine, as drivers are being diverted to Atherton Avenue to connect onto Highway 101.
And about an hour ago, the flood warning for the Russian River was lifted. The river started overflowing yesterday, seeping into homes and across several roadways. It is still pretty tough getting around. Some areas you can only get to by boat tonight, but people who live there say they know how to deal with it.
Well, you could walk. It's just like waist-high water. We move everything that's on the ground up to a higher level or a shelf and park our cars at the post office.
That's a lot of dirt.
A lot of dirt.
And near Los Gatos tonight, work continues on Hicks Road. Crews are trying to shore up a hillside that came tumbling down during the storms earlier this week. Work has been underway, rain or shine, but no word yet when it's going to be back open. Tonight, case settled. Former 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick and his teammate Eric Reed settling their collusion case against the NFL.
KPIX 5's Julie Wass with what we know about the settlement and reaction from Bay Area football fans.
I think it's good. Probably they reached a settlement, but I thought Colin Kaepernick's cause was righteous.
I think he got off easy. I don't think he's that great of a quarterback.
Opinions about a payout may be mixed, but sports marketing expert Bob Dorfman isn't surprised by today's announcement.
Knowing that how much money that I'm seeing floating around, I'm not surprised that he settled.
While the amount of the payout is confidential, Dorfman says unnamed sources inside the NFL are reporting it was significant.
$60 to $80 million. For the NFL, that's a drop in the bucket. For Cap, that's a nice amount that he can retire on.
He believes the settlement indicates the league didn't have that strong a case, and moving forward, the players' lawyers would have had access to NFL emails and otherwise confidential communications.
For them, it's let's get this out of the way, let's get him off the books, let's not have to talk about him anymore.
QB Colin Kaepernick and safety Eric Reed drew national attention in 2016 after Kaepernick began kneeling during the national anthem as a form of protest for social injustice. Reed was the first to join him. The movement spread throughout the league, praised by some and condemned by others, including President Trump. Cap was then prominently featured in a Nike ad, which also drew vocal support and condemnation. Reed was eventually signed to the Carolina Panthers, but Kaepernick remains a free agent. Though, as Dorfman points out, if the amount of the rumor payout is true, Cap could afford to focus full-time on social justice.
Great for Cap and great for the NFL. Hopefully everyone can move on and get back to football.
Well, today, a city crew in Oakland was out again clearing one of the largest homeless encampments along Lake Merritt.
The city believes a recent legal decision enables it to take down the camps. Today, they removed tents, clothes, propane tanks, and lots of bicycles. The city won a court battle in December over exactly this kind of encampment removal. The five people living there were given 6 days' notice. They were also allowed to set aside belongings they wanted to keep. And the city gave them options for shelter. But some homeless advocates are outraged.
Today the city is here doing another cruel and inhumane eviction of unsheltered people who have literally nowhere to go.
But I can tell you, everyone that lives in this neighborhood has a complete different just about. I mean, we all have dogs and we walk. But all my neighbors I know that deals with this and confronted with this, they couldn't be happier.
A six-person crew will be back out on Tuesday to finish the job. The city says similar camp removals will continue around town.
Time for the weather, and the scattered downpours continue because we have only a few spots getting rain, but they're on the move. Showers do that, and it's pouring where it is raining. Let's take a look at the radar with me. We have one shower leaving San Francisco, but heavy rain right along the Bay Bridge, right over Treasure Island, stretching east, and it will be raining in Oakland in a matter of a few seconds. Alameda and Berkeley, you'll get some rain as well. We show you the South Bay and Santa Cruz Mountains, where the highest elevations there, some of the highest hills, including Mount Umanum, picking up some snow, not rain right now, and showers continue in and around San Jose and Milpitas, and a few showers in Sonoma County and Napa County as well. So this makes 13 of the past 17 days with rainfall, and our computer forecast model is predicting over the weekend in 12-hour increments an accumulated rainfall total of about a half of an inch of rain, which doesn't sound like much, but since it's coming in showers, that tells me there will be numerous showers out there. Pretty cool shot from our new Ocean Beach cam at the Cliff House. 54 for a high today in San Francisco, below average. San Jose only 53 and Concord 56. This has been the coldest February. When you talk about afternoons, since 1950, and that trend will continue even when the rain stops. Chilly night tonight in Napa, down to 38, Redwood City 42, San Jose 42 degrees. Let me show you the pattern, because typically if we're wet, we're getting rain from the south or west, which keeps us somewhat mild. We'll have temperatures in the 50s. If we're cold, it's because the air is coming down from Canada and we're typically dry. It is rare, not unprecedented, but rare that we are cold and wet at the same time. Well, that's basically been February, because we have a ridge of high pressure off to our west, and these storms are staying just along the coastline, bringing the moisture in, but it's mixing with the cold air. So we're getting both right now, and we will continue to through the weekend. Futurecast is calling for scattered showers and scattered downpours tomorrow morning, scattered showers and scattered downpours tomorrow evening. Changes beginning Sunday. We'll get some more rain overnight. We'll have fewer showers Sunday morning. Futurecast is calling for just a few leftover showers Sunday evening. Then the wind direction changes, the storm track moves just a bit, and we will likely dry out coming up on Monday. So off and on rain tonight, more showers or downpours on Saturday. Small hail is possible once again. Not as wet starting Sunday. Below average tomorrow, up to 8 degrees below average. Cupertino 54, Fremont 51, Pacifica only 50, Danville 50 for a high, Benicia 53, Dublin 51, San Francisco, Sausalito, and Petaluma all 52 degrees, Richmond and San Leandro 53, and highs only in the mid-40s in Lake County and mid to upper 40s for Ukiah and also Fort Bragg. Sunday morning, the rain should be just about wrapped up, maybe a leftover shower Sunday afternoon. Then we dry out, but those temperatures aren't budging a bit. If anything, it'll be colder, because it'll be colder at night with mainly clear skies and highs only in the 50s from President's Day through Friday. That is your KPI X5 forecast.
Now, during the stormy weather this week, this iconic cypress tree, I know you know it, near Pebble Beach Gulf in Monterey County was damaged. The 250-year-old tree is known as the Lone Cypress. You can see one of its three main branches was sheared off during the storms. It's been called one of the most photographed trees in the entire country. And the NBA unveiling the jersey of the future. You see the Steph Curry jersey on the side there, but the number changes, and it's all controlled by an app. The NBA commissioner showed it off today ahead of the All-Star game. No word yet, Ken, when they go on sale or how much it's going to cost.
There you go.